cases where it is impossible to rid oneself of this outside entity. Now, before I begin, I would like to say that for all practical purposes of identifying this outside entity, of there being no mistake as to who I am referring to, whether I am referring to the possessee or the possessor, I will from now on refer to the outside entity as a demon. Well, in a sense of the word, it is a demon, and above all things, it is a demon to the entity whose body this demon has entered. It is a very diabolic figure. And so from now on, I will refer to it as the demon, and there will be no mistake in your mind or no confusion as to which one I'm referring to, as I will not call it or any other word to eliminate any confusion on your part. Now, to start in, there have been ideas about possession. People are fearful that possession can happen, say, when they are asleep. Well, this is not true. Now, in the rare cases that we hear about or people talk about where seemingly it has happened while someone has been asleep or they are approaching the sleep stage, remember, this has already been set up to happen through other events and other causes. Now, the normal average person just does not lie down, go to sleep, and wake up being possessed. You have to lower your brain power, your brain force, to allow this possession. The brain force that you have yourself, within yourself, is your protection. It keeps out these demons. And you will have no problems. The average person will never have any problems with demons. So you say, well, then why would a demon strike a certain person? What happened? The brain force has been lowered. And there are several ways that this brain force can be lowered unwillingly by the entity in the body. And that is, one, through an extremely high fever. Two, through the use, overuse, or the steady use of dope. Three, through the use of alcohol. Four, through the overuse and steady long use of the barbiturates, any of the medicines that can react upon the brain. Now, do not say to yourself, oh my goodness, I took dope at one time. Does that mean I can be possessed? No, not in just taking the dope. But it is in a certain type of brain force with the overuse of dope that this can happen. But I will bring out right here, the use of dope lowers anyone's brain force so that they may have resulting, shall we say, hallucinations or visions or hear sounds that makes them think they are possessed, but they are actually not possessed. They are within their own brain force, but they are seeing these things with the mind's eye and not with the physical eye, actually. Now, it is a dangerous thing to take medicines continually rely upon medicines that react someplace in the brain, that either deaden the brain or dope you off to put you to sleep. And they have discovered that using preparations like Somnex have had some very, very, very bad effects upon different types of people. And here again, remember, it depends upon the type of person. And so again, I say, how do we know which type of person could take it all right and another cannot? And so since you do not know and you cannot call upon Roe at all times for everything, the best advice I can give is just don't take any of the stuff. Now, to get back to a possession. Alcohol is a terrible thing to allow possession to enter into. Alcohol reduces the brain level, and alcohol itself is very bad. And you all know what I think of this excessive drinking or too much alcohol in the brain. I read it right along with dope. To me, dope is the most terrible thing that was visited upon mankind that man himself thought up. Now, on possession, we have had a case right here amongst you which you have all heard about. And in this case, this was a child. And the common supposition was that this could not happen to a child, that a child could not be possessed, and this is not true. A child can be possessed. A baby? No. A baby is protected. God will protect a baby because the baby's brain force is in a state where the baby does not have control over it. A baby cannot resolve anything. A baby does not actually know what it is all about. And so therefore, its brain force is not up to a capacity where it is capable of taking care of that baby. And so therefore, the baby does have protection against everything except one. And this is not a true possession, that they are not protected against. And that is, if they are surrounded or exposed to a demon, if they have a high fever, the demon can make an establishment around them, a contact close to their body where the demon can lie in wait. And a few years later, that child will wake up screaming because it has fought something. What happens is the demon is keeping the curtain between the child's unawareness, and its awareness very thin. Now, this is quite difficult for me to explain, but I am going to try to do the very best that I can. There is only one thing in the world that will protect a baby against a future harassment by the demons, and that is the power of prayer. And when a tiny baby has a high fever, I would suggest that immediately there be a prayer circle formed, and there be three different prayers given for that baby, and that will put a circle of love around that baby that will protect it all through its childhood. Now, time after time, a baby has a high fever, and people do not realize what actually can be taking place. They say the baby is protected from possession. Yes, it is protected from possession, but it is not protected from harassment in later years. And this is what you must protect it from. In later years you don't want that child to be able to see these other spirits. You do not want the child to be able to see demons. You do not want that child to be able to see monsters. And so keep a circle of the power of belief in love around that child, and he will or she will be protected all through their childhood. And now, when it comes to the actual possession of a child who has passed the infant stage, they are able to be possessed contrary to what people have thought. And there has been true possessions made. There is only one, well, sometimes I do start out and say there's one blessing, and then I'll think of another one or so. So I will just start out by saying there is a blessing to the possession of a child if it is caught immediately. And that blessing is that the demon can be driven out. It can be driven out immediately. There is no such thing as an entire possession instantly of a child. Now, by that I mean that at one time the demon will be in possession, and at another time the child will be in full possession. The child will be aware that there is something the matter. The child will be aware that there is a demon there. The child will be aware enough that they can talk to it. It is right there within their brain talking to them. And boy, they're always using sweet, honeyed words to disillusion the child. Now, basically, when we say that it is a blessing that it can be dispossessed, the adult surrounding this child must be aware of this. They must be aware of these conditions, and they must acknowledge that that demon is there. Now, if you believe that your child is possessed, and it is more or less very easy to tell if the child is simply not himself at times, and then he seems to be all right, and then he is not himself at times, you had better get busy right there with two things. One of them is your prayer group. That will drive the demon out. And the other thing is your acknowledgement that the demon is there, and you start talking to the demon. Roe has said that you must, when the child is a demon, you must say to the demon, "I know you are a demon. I know you are there, and I know just what you are trying to do. And in the name of God, in the name of Baba, I order you to leave this child." Now talk to the demon whenever it is in possession of the child, because basically the child is not smothered out. The child is aware, dimly in the background, he is aware of what is going on. But at the same time, the demon is shouting. I'm yelling so loud that the poor child doesn't have much chance of making any headway against him. And then the other thing that I spoke of, the demon speaks in honeyed words. He's very confidential to the child. He will tell the child that only he, the demon, understands this child, that others do not understand him, and so therefore don't listen to the others. Don't listen to mommy. Don't listen to daddy. Don't listen to any outsider. Just listen to the demon, and the demon will just do everything for this child. Oh, this is the way the demon talks. And I am sorry to say that your demon is out for child possession to destroy the child, and not just to remain in the body and stay there and grow up within that child's body. The demon that takes over a child is of the cruelest and the nastiest type of demon that there is. And that is the one that wants to force the ending of life within the child. Now here, in this case that we know of, it was very apparent that the child wanted to commit suicide. Well, that was the demon telling him to. The demon convinced the child that was the only thing to do. And so, therefore, the child wanted to commit suicide. On the instant, a group starting to pray for this child immediately went to work to break down the influence of the demons. And this was what saved the child. Now, this has happened before. You, I know, are very upset and terrified at the thought that this could happen to your own children or to your future children. And I do want to tell you right now to stop your worrying, that this type of possession only happens about once in 100, well, I'll break it down, once in 1,000,000 times, we'll put it that way. This is indeed rare. Of course, we do have to realize that there are a good many million people in the world, and so therefore it could happen all over the world at different times. This type of possession of a child is so extremely rare that I would not worry about it, because from now on you can be in control by a complete awareness of it and a complete faith and belief in the power of prayer and in Baba for complete protection against this and for complete riddance of it if it ever should happen within your sphere. And Rose says this is not going to happen, that you are not going to have to worry about a true possession coming into your children here. And I am glad to be able to tell you that, because this is a harrowing thing for a parent. Now, I would like to also tell you, while I am on the subject, that there have been happenings like this where children have been possessed and it has been totally unrecognized by the parents or other people. And so therefore it has been a case of nothing being done, and a tragic event has happened which have made people say, oh, whatever happened, wasn't that a tragic accident? And I am speaking of these young children, and it has happened primarily at around a certain age. It does seem to come in from the group from 4 to 14. 10 years period of time in there, where they are very susceptible to this if it is going to happen. Remember, I said this would not happen except maybe once in 1,000,000 years, or 1,000,000 times. But here, a child has become possessed. The demon is within him, and he, the child, may be around 9 or 10 or 11 or 12, and he is older, and he is doing a lot of thinking. And he listens to this voice, and he cannot, of course, understand it. No one could really understand it. But he listens to the voice, and the voice starts in to give him all kinds of advice. And the voice begins to tell him, do not listen to your parents. They don't know what they're talking about. Don't listen to your parents. They don't love you like I do. Now, I am your guardian angel. I love you. I want you to have everything, and I want you to do everything you want to do. The child listens. And he thinks, this is a wonderful thing that I have here, and I'm not going to talk about it to anybody. If I talked about it to my parents, they would immediately make me get rid of it. And so I am not going to tell anybody about this. I'm going to keep this to myself. And so the child does. And after a while, the voice begins to tell him to do certain things. And the child begins to do them. And nobody can understand why the child is acting strange. And nobody has been able to figure it out because the child has said nothing. And the demon is pretty smart. He's well undercover. He's not making an open show, which he does in a very small child who just flares right up and lets it fly. But he is well hidden within, say, the child of 12 or 10. And this child has been listening to him. And so one day the demon says to him, you know, the supreme bliss of all is to kill yourself. Go on, kill yourself. At first the child is reluctant. After all, you know, we are brought up with that is the natural fear of man is death. And so this here fear is within a child of death. And he does not want to commit suicide. And so the demon keeps egging him and begins to tell him of the bliss that he would know, the beautiful, beautiful place that he would go to. He puts all the lures and the enticements in that child's mind. And the child hung himself by a belt from the closet door. Or the child has hung himself by a rope from a tree. Or the child has committed some form of suicide in such a way that it looks like he possibly might have been playing. And yet it's a very gruesome type of play. And this demon that has done this has achieved exactly what he has wanted to do, and that is destroy life in a human being and not have to wait to come back to war, to have to come back to do it on his own. He don't want to go into the earth plane that way. He just wants to create a panic and a havoc and bad things. And I will say this one's going to find himself, when this event happens, that this child does commit suicide, this demon will find himself sitting back as a rock, and in a very short hurry, too, because there are punishments dealt out regardless of what the demons think. Now, in the case of the baby, if a baby goes into a high fever, which reduces its brain force level where it is totally unprotected, we'll say, God protects it. God is right there protecting the baby. But this thins the curtain between the child's unawareness and its awareness. And in later years, it will move into a house that the house is possessed. Now there you see we have another type of possession. We have body possession. We have, a place possession. And the child will move into a place where there are ghosts. That's what they are called. Now, these ghosts can be thought impressions that are left there by events that have happened in the house. And thought impressions that are left in a house and are actual ghosts, where people actually see the thought impressions, these can never harm anyone. These cannot harm you physically or mentally. The only harm they might do is scare the polywogs out of you if you happen to see it and didn't know what it was all about. But there are also demons. outside entities are lurking in these houses or places, and they can be in the form of monsters, terrible, terrible monsters, or they can be in the form of human beings. They can be in the form of somebody that who had lived around there and passed away and did not want to leave. And this entity actually is not what we would call a possessing demon type. This entity just don't want to go on, or is lost and does not know where it is, and so it stays around this here one place. Sometimes it stays there because it deliberately chooses to do so. But these are not the ones that desire to possess the bodies of others. And so anyone living there is actually not endangered by them. But this is a very trying experience. If you happen to be a sensitive type of person that can pick up these impressions or even see these entities. But the monsters and the demons are there for harassment and to torture people through the fear and the agony that the people experience seeing them. But they do not possess those that they appear in front of. The ones that are out for a pure possession are lurking around on the astral, any place around the earth plane. They're not localized in one spot, and they are not tied into one spot by conditions or places. They can appear any place, and they do appear any place that they can find a mind force reduced low enough that they can enter and take possession. And now I can hear many of you inquiring in your own mind, well, why are some people singled out for a possession and others are not? Why do some people go through life and never so much as experience anything along that type, and others are, shall we say, selected or do become possessed? And in this case, practically all of it basically is karmic. We open ourselves up to a possession by what we have done in our past lives. And to look upon a child or a person and try to figure out what they were and what they were like in a past life is impossible for anyone to do just looking at them. And so you do not know what the conditions are or what the past life has been, and therefore you do not know what the karma is that permits it. But if you will think of a karma as being exactly like a radio receiving set, in that it will focus and bring into being conditions that enable things to happen. That is the way the karma works. A karma is not a haphazard thing that just happens. A karma, of course, you know what it is. It is something that you have to face that either involves a past life or a future life. And in this case, karmas that have involved a possession of somebody else's mind, control over somebody else, is one of the best openings that there is for possession of the entity of this time. Now, to ask me why is a child possessed, I will not give you the